This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Thursday, the 28th of October. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me is
Frida Liu. Next week's November.
It is. It is November. And you know what that means. It is budget season.
Yes.
Yes. And we thought we'd get the conversation going on budget 2022 today. So we are asking you this on our show.
Very simple question. What's your wish list for budget 2022? Let us know. Write to us via Twitter, Instagram. That's at BFM Radio. Also, let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Yeah. So several sectors have already begun submitting their wish list for budget 2022. I think we've seen this all week, right? In order to achieve economic survivability, you know, during this endemic phase. And the Prime Minister has promised some wow factors that will benefit everyone in budget 2022.
All right. So Isma Sabri Yaakob said the budget in line with the Keluarga Malaysia concept would be of high impact, encompassing aid for the B40 and M40 groups and support for businesses to ensure that the micro, small and medium enterprises have access to funding. Mm-hmm. He said besides continuous assistance for the vulnerable and non-vulnerable groups, the 2022 budget is disabled friendly, adding that the budget would generate more jobs to tackle unemployment and to return the country and its economy to its pre-pandemic levels with new norms in place. He also insisted the budget had been drawn up carefully and comprehensively, taking into account the views of everyone, including opposition parties. To me, the aspiration for Keluarga Malaysia togetherness.
Yes. Now, the Prime Minister said that the Finance Ministry's Budget 2022 portal received over 50,000 suggestions from the public that were taken into consideration as part of the input for this all-encompassing and transparent budget. He also said that the budget also considered the input of the business sector, which had asked for tax incentives to assist companies adversely impacted by the pandemic in order to revive their businesses and, of course, benefit their workers as well. Here's a quote here. This budget will ensure the continuity of policies to support the people and businesses to remain resilient in a crisis and to continue protecting their livelihoods while enabling post-pandemic innovations so they can rise again stronger and more competitively in tandem with the country's development that is more sustainable and encompassing. In the budget this time, we are still providing aid directly to the people and micro-entrepreneurs who were forced to close their business and with no capital to reopen them.
It should be noted the government has implemented eight economic stimulus packages amounting to 530 billion already. But if this aid stops now or too early, it could disrupt the momentum of recovery.
Yeah,
so more aid expected to boost the nation's recovery from COVID-19. Where does industry feel this aid should go?
Yeah, so, you know, just to kick things off, let's talk about tourism, the aviation sector. You know, this has been greatly impacted this year due to COVID-19. So the Malaysian Tourism Council, MTC, they want the budget to be a survival budget as the nation moves into the endemic phase of the pandemic after almost 20 months, you know, under movement controls. So MTC President Uzaidi Udanis, who also heads the Malaysian Inbound Tourism Association, or MITA, he said the budget must include fiscal policies and incentives to maintain the recovery momentum. He hopes the government avoids imposing more taxes and regulations to make it easier for businesses to recover and to survive. He also proposed that a four-day work week be promoted to allow for longer weekends breaks. He said the government could consider offering tax exemptions for companies who introduce a four-day work week, and this will spur domestic tourism and other sectors such as recreation centres, theme parks, and of course retail. We know what we do, you know, on long weekends. He added that the MTC, which has over 3,000 members, also suggested providing incentives for those in the industry to work from home. He said this would minimise the risk to financial exposure such as rental and overhead costs for those in the sectors.
Okay. Meanwhile, Malay Chambers of Commerce wants a budget that promotes economic growth with breathing space. Among the Chamber's proposal is providing 1,000 ringgit beginning next month.
Beginning next month. Yeah. As an additional cost of living aid for those who are incapable of work due to long COVID sickness.
Also suggests a 50 ringgit monthly or 300 ringgit a year e-wallet scheme for school students whose parents earn less than 3,000 ringgit. President Halim Hussein hopes this will enable them to buy face masks and vitamins through school cooperatives or bookshops. I think that's great. Also suggested was introducing a progressive tax system to give more breathing space to B40 and M40 groups. He added high income earners in top 10% bracket who are earning more than 1 million ringgit a year could be taxed between 40 and 50%. Oof. As for SMEs, Halim said the chambers was against the lowering of corporate taxes, but should instead look at lowering taxes for SMEs to 15% for companies below 2.5 million ringgit.
Hmm. Huh. Now, I think when it comes to taxes, everybody will be arguing very...
Yeah.
It can be quite sensitive, you know.
Right.
And if you reduce here, you increase there, you know, there will be repercussions. So, you know, this is something that they will have to tread very carefully with. And I think that, you know, judging from some of the messages that have already come in to our question today, taxes seems to be a big one. Yeah.
Yes.
We are asking you today, what's your wish list for Budget 2022? How can they get in touch with us, Frida?
They can get in touch with us via Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, and also over WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
I takut lah Alish Dian listening to us. But in the meantime, we have the Who for you right now with The Kids Are All Right. When we come back, we will talk more about different sectors' wish lists for Budget 2022. The announcement is tomorrow evening. But in the meantime, here's some music from The Who, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida and Audrey. On the show today, it's all about your wish list for Budget 2022.
Right. We're asking the question, what's your wish list for Budget 2022? You can think it's Christmas Day and let us know what you think. You can let us know via Twitter and Instagram at BFF Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll go through your wish list a little later.
Yes, because on the line with us right now, we have Narendran Maniam. He is the CEO of Inda Water Consortium. And Inda Water is on a mission, you know, to ramp up sewage infrastructure and connectivity here to improve access for all Malaysians to good public health and environmental sustainability. And Narendran is on the line with us today to share his thoughts on the upcoming Budget 2022 and what we need to help Inda Water and the nation reach that goal. Narendran, welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. Now, first up, what does Inda Water Consortium hope to see in Budget 2022 in general?
In the presentation of the draft Malaysian plan, Prime Minister Yang Mahbub Ahmad Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri have shared the nation's aspiration to be a regional water hub, conceiving the Water Sector Transformation 2040 initiative. As the national sewerage company, India Water Consortium supports the initiative by providing sewerage services nationwide, maintaining more than 7,000 sewage treatment plants and serving more than 26 million population equivalent. World Bank records that Malaysia has one of the highest sewerage connectivity rates among other emerging countries. This means that a large majority of citizens have access to good public health, having their wastewater channeled to IWK's sewage treatment plant for treatment before being released into the river or waterways. Mm. This is a testament to the federal government's effort in ensuring that all facets of the communities have access to clean environment and good public health. Prime Minister Ismail Sabri also mentioned that a target in the 12th Malaysian plan is to have clean water access and safe sanitation systems in 98% of rural areas by 2025. Mm. And these areas need to be connected to the nearest and most viable sewage treatment plant to ensure that this target is met. We are working very closely with the government, with National Water Services Commission, with the Ministry of Environment and Water to implement the identified projects. Mm. For safe sanitation and sewerage services, the key matter to focus on is the infrastructure development. Many of the sewage treatment assets existed many, many years ago, since 1960s, 1970s, and they all are aging assets. Mm. At the same time, many of the newer sewerage systems are handed over to IWK to operate and maintain. This results in increasing operational expenditure and it is also compounded by the rising inflation costs and energy consumption. So in the past 20 years, the cost of electricity alone was 22 million in the year 2000, and last year it was close to 260 million. which is a tenfold increase. When all the costs are calculated, the amount need to maintain a household is approximately 18 ringgit a month, while IWK only charges its customer between 2 ringgit and 8 ringgit per household a month. Mm. That is why the government continues to subsidize the operational expenditure borne by the company.
Right. Narendran, in the 12 Malaysia plan, the Water Sector Transformation 2040 initiative was mentioned as part of Malaysia's aspiration to be a regional water hub. What could be introduced or reinforced in Budget 2022 to support this goal?
Well, it will be crucial to ensure that all sewage assets that require immediate attention are upgraded and improved. Up to Rancangan Malaysia ke sebelas, the government has spent 26.5 billion with an average of 5 billion for each 5-year Rancangan Malaysia Development Plan. In 2020, the National Water Services Commission have approved a budget to upgrade 644 existing sewage treatment plant to meet the new environmental quality sewage regulation, or EQSR in short. This is to ensure proper functionality of these plants, resulting in better compliance to the discharge effluent standards. We plan to further upgrade the remaining 2,306 sewage treatment plants under the Phase 2 and Phase 3 implementation within the next 5 years, with the National Water Services Commission's support through the utilization of KWSMP fund. This is to help IWK ensure that all public plants can continue to release treated effluent safely to the rivers and waterways. As of December 2020, IWK's plan compliance stands at 97% as per 12-month rolling average, and we will continue to safeguard our environment.
Right. And how is IWK currently supporting the Water Sector Transformation 2040 initiative?
Yeah. IWK treats and discharges more than 6,000 million litres per day, according to standards stipulated by the Department of Environment. After the wastewater undergoes thorough treatment, the final effluent is released into the river or water bodies. However, the effluent has much potential to be reused as an alternative water source, because this effluent is treated to a level where it can be reused again for non-potable use. Hence, IWK contributes to the Ministry of Environment and Water's Environmental Sustainability 2020 to 2030. The target is to produce 1,500 million litres per day of reclaimed water by 2030. This year, we have entered into a joint venture collaboration with Pengurusan Air Selangor or Sdn. Bhd on a sustainable water recycling initiative. And both parties have formed a special purpose vehicle called Central Water Reclamation Sdn. Bhd. Mm. The bioeffluent, treated effluent from IWK sewage treatment plant is further treated through this SPV and produce non-potable grade water that is safely used by industries. Mm. So we have an existing plant of 4 MLD at the 1 million litres per day, soon to be upgraded to 7.5 million litres per day to supply water to one particular factory, Kosan Rubber Industries.
Mm. Right. Now, Narendra, earlier you mentioned about how Malaysia has one of the highest sewage connectivity rates among other emerging countries, right? So how else could the allocation in Budget 2022 tomorrow, you know, benefit citizens' access to good public health?
There are two main types of sewage systems in Malaysia. The most common is connected system, and this refers to the sewage connectivity whereby most domestic premises, commercial government premises are connected directly to our sewage treatment plant. There are also various other sewage treatment through septic tank, individual septic tank, communal septic tank, traditional systems such as pore flush, amounting to more than 2.3 million. Premises. Mm. Only about 10% of the system are dislodged on a scheduled manner. This year, the government has gazetted the water services through the Water Services Industry Act. Dislodging services was gazetted to ensure that all septic tanks and traditional tank owners are required to dislodge their septic tanks once in 2 years for areas within local authority boundary, and once in 3 years for areas outside local authority operating boundary. Mm. So one of the ways to benefit more citizens is for the premises with traditional sewage treatment system to be connected to our sewage treatment plant, and this requires huge capital expenditure to build pipelines and property connection to the sewer system. An example of this was when IWK took over sewage operations in Kelantan this year. Most of the premises in the state government continue to use septic tanks and traditional systems. However, the federal government is preparing a necessary plan to implement a regional sewage treatment plant that will connect all these properties so that they will have access to better sewage services. This can be replicated and the effort will definitely bear much fruits in years to come.
Right. Okay, let's talk about pollution, right? Environmental pollution is a long-standing issue. What in Budget 2022 does IWK hope for to support combating this issue?
One of the latest achievements is that IWK had just signed a collaboration agreement to take over sewage system management in Bandaraya Johor Bahru and Bandaraya Pasir Gudang. These are the last two local authorities in Peninsula Malaysia that we haven't taken over. Now, by we taking over these plants from the local authorities, we hope to get necessary funding to refurbish and upgrade the existing plants to meet the requirements stipulated by Department of Environment. This simply means that, you know, all STPs that for every load of wastewater treated per population, IWK STPs in Peninsula Malaysia and Federal Territory of Labuan will produce good water quality now that is safe to be released to waterways. Before this, there are a lot of issues in southern Johor with many incidences of river pollution. So we hope this effort by IWK taking over will obtain more fund to upgrade and refurbish this plant so that the river water quality will eventually improve in this area. So the Ministry of Environment and Water had also recently made public suggestion to amend the EQA 1974, focuses on more stringent punishment for environment criminals, including higher fines, longer jail terms, and stronger enforcement. So these steps will also curb the pollution issues moving forward, because in recent years, we have been having issues of illegal discharges into our sewer system. So with more enforcement, we believe irresponsible parties will be more responsible moving forward.
Yes.
Okay, final question, Narendran. Clean water access and safe sanitation systems in 98% rural areas by 2025 is another goal in the 12th Malaysia Plan. What is IWK hoping to see in Budget 2022 that could assist with further infrastructure development in this area?
The government is planning to implement more centralized sewage treatment facilities. This is good. This will increase the connectivity. The current connectivity of premises into public sewage treatment plant have increased from 65% in 2017 up to close to 70% up to September 2021. So there's a significant increase in connectivity, and we hope this percentage will continue to increase. And this is way, way higher than some of the urban countries as well. So we have one of the highest connectivity rate in the region. So we look forward for more implementation of centralized sewage facilities, rationalization or consolidating smaller plants to bigger plants, getting properties with individual septic tanks to be connected to public sewer lines, and conversion of power flush to individual septic tanks. So with all these category of scopes that we that has been earmarked, surely the connectivity of sewage services in the country will continue to increase.
Right. Thank you so much for that, Narendra. That was Narendra Maniam, CEO of Inda Water Consortium. On the show today, we are talking about your wish list for Budget 2022. We're going to take a quick break for some messages. When we come back, we take a look at your messages, your wish list, and also a little bit of a tease about what's happening later on at 1:30 p.m. But for now, here's The Hives with Go Right Ahead, and send us your messages on your wish list, BFM 89.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida and Audrey. On the show today, we are asking you what your wish list is for Budget 2022. Just a couple of minutes to chime in. 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. Frida, what do you think should be in Budget 2022 tomorrow for entrepreneurs and for micro SMEs?
I was just thinking about myself.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, no, but for entrepreneurs, I don't know if they're doing it right now. You know, in supporting social enterprises, tax benefits, right? Maybe corporations who buy from social enterprises, right, get tax benefits. Tax rebates. So that, you know, everyone's doing their bit, right? You're still, it's not a donation, but you choose to buy from social enterprises. Social enterprises make money. They're supporting different causes, right? So that, to me, would be a good one.
Right. Now, I was also just like sifting through. I mean, over this last week, we've seen so many different bodies come up with their own wish lists, right? Mm. And it just feels like a plea to the government to please extend aid, grants of some sort. There was one that I saw about how creative industry players are urging the government to support them with financial assistance, you know, tax incentives, as well as avenues for employment and participation to a certain extent to like government jobs and things like that.
So I always find that, you know, rather than aid, I mean, I understand some. You know, so you do need aid in certain areas and all that sort of thing. What was good this year was, you know, whenever we had staycations, we could claim that against tax.
Yes.
So that encourages to, you know,
us to go out there and support Cuti Malaysia, right?
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that was, I think would be good would be like, you know, tax breaks. If we go and, you know, watch a show, entertainment, right? So supporting the entertainment industry. So that way, I mean, they're not getting aid in the way, but it encourages me to want to go knowing that I can, it's going to be, you know, there's some tax breaks to entertainment.
Yeah. I also saw a really interesting op-ed in The Star sometime earlier this week. And it was by Tham Yong Sheng from eBay Southeast Asia. And he was also on Resource Center a couple of weeks ago. And he spoke about how we really need to focus on SMEs because, you know, they're the backbone of business, of the economy. Yeah. And 98%...
You don't have to convince me.
Yeah, we know this. You know, it's like the stuff we say in our dreams. 98% of employers registered with the EPF are SMEs. And so that's why we need to really focus on job creation and opportunities in this segment. And he also spoke about how startups right now could really use some incentives or like free access to short-term incubator programs as well to help them, because we've seen so many new businesses kind of sprout up during the course of this pandemic, right? People who generally wouldn't have taken a chance to come into the business world, they've now come in. But then again, what is the startup survival rate? Now, we did a show this morning on Open for Business about just that and how only 5% of startups survive in the first 6 months or first 8 months or something like that. There's a stat to that. So they could use access to these programs. And this is something that the government could try and introduce as well to help these businesses kind of just get past that 6-8 months, you know, and have some guidance on how to survive the first year or so, you know. And then, of course, they will start to contribute to the economy as well. So that was something that I thought was interesting. And also e-commerce and cross-border trade and how to get more of our SMEs and micro SMEs
to think regional.
Yes.
Right?
Not even regional, global right now, you know, to get their own brand.com. And get out there, or, you know, get on a marketplace that can help them reach consumers and customers abroad. So I thought that was interesting as well. But we do have some messages that have come in about their wish list, everyone's wish list for Budget 2022, right? Should we go to WhatsApp
first? Okay, we'll go to WhatsApp. Here's one from 4414. So my budget wish: cut salaries of all ministers and deputy ministers by half and cut all pensions of members of parliament and senators. 4414. I'm wondering if this was the wow thing that the Prime Minister is talking about. Alvin Lau says, better control pricing of properties. Chia Tian Yu, I want to kena my lottery for my budget 2022, then I have money to spend. Okay, lottery. Lottery is beyond the control of the budget.
Yeah. We have a tweet here from Ahli Politikus, also on the property market. Extend HOC for sub-sale property market. I think that's home ownership campaign. New property launches are just too expensive, can generally get better deal in sub-sale.
Right, so it's not just new properties, but sub-sale properties as well, right?
Yeah. My Sire says, reduction in personal tax, more allowance or rebate on child education expenses.
Yes.
Now, that's something that I actually picked up on from our Ringgit and Sense episode this morning at 9:30 to talk about what more single parents could use during this time, during the pandemic, right? And yeah, rebate on child education expenses or child expenses on the whole, any little bit can help, right? Mm. And we have one final one here from Michael Lee, and this is a long list, so I'm just going to try and read through quickly. Reduce price of self-test kits, reduce price of essential grocery items, increase hospital and medical personnel categories to each DUN according to the number of yeah, there. Reduced insurance premium price with no annual limits and reduced price in essential grocery. Insurance premium price, I guess maybe this is on how much we get when, you know, the insurance cap when we file for, I mean, for our taxes,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yes.
Income tax.
So the more you buy, the better.
Right. Mm. Thank you so much for all your messages. That, of course, was our question today. What is your wish list for Budget 2022? The coverage on Budget 2022 kicks off full force tomorrow morning.
Until, of course, Monday.
All day. Yeah. And, of course, all day on Monday as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We will be taking you through everything, even the announcement tomorrow evening. Mm. So, yeah, more on BFM all day tomorrow and on Monday. But coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin is, of course, the Breakfast Grill replay. And at 1:30...
Yes, it's the final Futurescapes webinar today. We're talking about the future of leisure. I've been calling it future of travel. Same thing, right? We've got some experts speaking. Yeo Siew Hoon, founder of Web and Travel. Adrian Praveen, the CEO of Arrowwood International. Johnny Thorson, global travel technology evangelist. How will this pan out as travelers, tourists are coming in from overseas? And we're hoping. I've got a question about corporate travel, whether that will be a thing of the past. You know, it won't be
business
the kind,
travel.
Yeah, whether, you know, whether we have that those kind of numbers now, right? Because companies will realize, hey, you know, I didn't have to pay for your business class flight, your hotel accommodation, and other expenses, right? Do a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Right? Is the alternative. So anyway, that's our conversation happening 1:30. You can join us via Facebook and also LinkedIn, and it goes through YouTube Live as well.
Yes. So join us over there, our Futurescapes final Futurescapes webinar series on the future of leisure. But now taking us out of Enterprise Biz Bites, we have the Jimmy Castor Bunch with Magic in the Music. Is it Friday already? Please tell me it's Friday already. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.